Our scripture for today is Psalm 40, a psalm of David. And I'm going to read the first 11 verses of this psalm. So listen to these words. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. I do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. Oh, waiting for God. I venture to say that most of you would probably tell me, if I had the chance to sit down and talk with you, that waiting is not something you're made for. That you have no desire to wait for things to happen, wait for things to... Yesterday, we were finally able to have Christmas with our kids and our grandkids. January 17th. Which means the kids had to wait. And as we came in Friday afternoon and set all the presents around the fireplace, they knew they had to wait till tomorrow before they could open the last of their Christmas presents. Waiting is not easy for anybody, is it? We stopped last night on the way home at a restaurant and got there at the appropriately wrong time so that we could wait 30 or more minutes before we could even get a table. Waiting is not most people's favorite thing. And sometimes when things happen in the midst of our world, we want it fixed when? Yesterday. I heard a couple of you say now, but yesterday's the real answer, isn't it? When you go out to order something to eat, you want it, not yesterday, you want it now, don't you? You don't want to have to wait. You don't, that's not something. Well, one of the things that I've learned about life, and I think sometimes we sum it up by saying life's not fair. There are times when situations do not go as planned. Did you have one this past week? I bet if you think through your week, there was something that didn't work out, didn't happen, didn't go on like you thought should go on in the way that it should happen. I know my grandson Theo wasn't expecting the gift that he got. It was an empty box with directions in it. because I had already built the ship in the bottle, and I wasn't going to put it back in the box for kids to, what is this? By the way, I did encourage every one of them to shake Theo's gift to find out what it was. Sometimes things just don't go the way we planned. Theo didn't expect to open up an empty box that had a set of directions in it on how to build a ship in the bottle. Things just don't go the way we planned, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. And what happens when that happens is oftentimes many cry out to God, expecting God to fix the trouble now. Fix the trouble now. Straighten it out now. Accomplish it now. Now is the time I want it. And I guess I'm going to say, I think a lot of times that's a American culture thing. Fix it now. There's other cultures around the world that I believe it's the same. But I think it's strongly a thing now because in our culture, because we're so many times we expect things to happen that way, don't we? You drive up to the drive-thru and you talk to that little speaker that doesn't speak English back to you. And then you expect to drive up to the next window and get what you just said. What happens when you don't get what you just said? What happens when you drive up to the next window and you wonder how much longer is it going to take? You know, it shouldn't always be about now. I mean, how does David start the psalm? He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. God turned to me and heard my cry. And he says, I waited patiently. I waited for things to happen at the right time. David testifies for those who trust and follow God that God will answer their request. Those that trust and follow God. There is no promise in Scripture that everything works out for good for everybody. There is no promise in Scripture of that. Now, some of you are going to tell, but I know a verse that says this. And we know that all things God works for the good. You know that verse? Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good. But we stop reading. Some people stop reading there. They don't even finish the sentence. Because the sentence goes on to say, God works for the good of those who love God and who have been called according to God's purpose. That promise is not for all people. That promise is the same thing that David says here. It's for those who trust in God, those who are willing to adhere their life to God, those who are willing to walk God's ways and follow God's commandments. It's not for all people. So please don't go out and tell people when they have a disastrous situation, that's okay, God can work this out for good. Because if they don't follow God and they don't follow God's commandments, there is no promise that it'll work out for good for them. There is no promise in all of Scripture about that. It's one of the verses that gets misinterpreted because people don't finish reading the verse. They just want to know that first part, that, yep, God's going to do good for them. And no matter what it is, because I've heard it many times, terrible situations happen to folks, and I've heard people say what? That's all right. It'll all work out in the end for the good. God will bring good out of this. Well, is it the person you're talking to, is it somebody who follows God? Because David even goes so far to say in this psalm, Psalm 40, he says, "Your word I have treasured in my heart." What does it mean to treasure something? It means to hold it in a place that is very important to you, that is so special. Sorry, but I'm going to be a grandparent again. My grandkids are special to me. Two of them are biological and two of them are part of the family. But as far as I'm concerned, all four of them are my grandchildren. And I had a world of fun with all four of them Friday and Saturday. They are special. I treasure them. I will do almost anything for them. The gift that I made for Lizzie, for her, was a house that had some cats in it, and it was decorated to the hilt. And do you know why I did that? She saw some things that I had made at home when they were here in October, and she asked me to come over and sit down with her, and I sat down with her, and this six-year-old looked at me and said, "Will you make me one of those for my birthday?" Now, which one of you is not going to do something? I treasure my relationship with Lizzie. And I was more than willing to make whatever she wanted. Now, I will tell you that what she picked out, maybe I should have gone with that because that was much easier to make than what I did pick out for her. But I looked at what she picked out and I thought it was way too cheap. So I bought something even better. Do you treasure God's scriptures that way? That you will do anything to read them, to study them, to learn from them? Do you treasure God's word that way? Because David says, "I treasure it. I hold it within my heart in such a way that I just want more." I really hope that all of you have a plan, and if you don't, I'll help you with a plan. I hope that you have a plan to read through all of Scripture in at least a year, every year. And if you don't have a plan for that, I'd be glad to help you find a plan for that. The plan that I'm using for it right now is helping me to read through all of Scripture chronologically as it happens. So sometimes I'm skipping from one book to another. Sometimes as I read through the book of Moses and his story and got through those things, it had me go and read Psalm 90. That talks all about Moses and his relationship with God. I've done it before, reading through it chronologically, but I continue to do it. Do you treasure God's word that much? What does Romans 8:28 say? "And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to God's purpose." And please remember my definition of love. Love is looking out for the other person's best interest, even if it costs you. Love is looking out for the other person's best interest. Are you, in your relationship with God, your love relationship with God, are you looking out for God's best interest? You know what I find most people wanting? They want God to look out for their best interest. But it very rarely works the other way. Are you looking out? I mean, Would you not agree with me that this world is in chaos? Would you not agree with me that situations in this world do not work out the way they should? They don't, do they? I mean, I still think it's been over 3 years now. I think about the poor people in the Ukraine. I know someone there, I know of someone there who makes ship model kits. And a lot of people love to order this guy's ship model kits because they're extraordinaire, they're wonderful. And you order from him and it may be 2 or 3 months before you can get it because sometimes they don't have electricity to produce the kit. Sometimes rockets are coming in their neighborhood and they've got to move somewhere else. Is that the way the world's supposed to work? In God's design? Things don't work out. And sometimes we just have to wait patiently for God to put things in order. But you know, we've got to participate in that. Often we must wait for God to bring the resolution. But that doesn't mean that we stop looking for it. That doesn't mean, I mean, what does David do? He says, I'm looking for it. I'm waiting for it. I'm expecting it. Or do we reach the point where we go, you know what? That war in Ukraine is going to last forever and there's nothing I can do about it. Yes, there is something you can do about it. You can pray about it every day. And your prayers can be effective for changing that situation. But those people there are patiently waiting for God to bring about something to stop that war. Are they not? Waiting. And here we are when we want a Big Mac immediately. Sometimes I need to think. I just need to think and stop and realize. Waiting for a Christmas gift might be the best possible thing. Waiting for God to put things in place. As Deanne and I have looked back over our lives and our ministry, we have noticed so many times that we tried to rush God to something. And God put things in place at the right time, at the right moments, for it to move forward. And we tried to rush it. And I think even Moses tried to rush things. I want you to think about Moses' life. He is living in the court of Pharaoh. And he realizes that the Egyptians are mistreating the Israelites. And he goes out one day to try to fix that situation. What does he do? He murders an Egyptian who is abusing some Israelites. And the next day he goes out and two Israelites are fighting and he tries to be a leader to them to get them to stop. And they look at him and say, what are you going to do? Murder us like you did the Egyptian yesterday? And he ends up living in what I've heard somebody say is the backside of the desert for 40 years tending sheep before he comes back to be the leader of Israel. And in case you forget, Moses didn't start his ministry until he was 80 years old. For those of you that tell me you're too old to be involved in ministry, at whatever age, he didn't start till he was 80. And he was in ministry for the next 40 years. You know what that means? If you want to live to 120, get into ministry when you turn 80. No, wrong interpretation. You see, Moses, I think, knew what God wanted him to do. But he didn't wait for God to put all the pieces in place. He tried to rush the plan. How are you at waiting? How are you allowing God to put things together? And while you wait, do you realize that David gives you something to do here while you wait? David says, I will not conceal what God has done. Everyone will hear about it. He says we need to be praising God. We need to be vocal. We need to be loud. We need to be letting people know. We read the story about the blind man outside of Jericho and growing in Christ this morning at 9 o'clock. We read that out of the Gospel of Luke. And what happens? The blind man gets healed. He can now see. And it says he begins praising God and follow Jesus. And because he was praising God, everybody else around began praising God. Now, let me just ask you what your imagination tells you. Is praising God doing this? Is it? Or is praising God telling people about what God has done for you? Or is praising God about being out and letting people know they can be saved? Is praising God saying, look at what God has done for me? A relationship with God has done this in my life and in my family's life. It's about being, I'm sorry, Baptist, it's about being loud. Couple of you participated. Praising God is about being loud. Okay, we got a few more, but some of you still are not really willing to get into this. And you might tell me later, Pastor, I don't want to be Pentecostal holiness. Guess what? David was. David was loud about things. He was so loud one time praising God that his wife rebuked him and told him what an embarrassment he was. As king, you are an embarrassment to all the people, and you embarrassed me. And what was he doing? He was praising God. And he was letting people know, by the way, if you want to go read that story, I don't know exactly where it is. No joke, it says this. David was dancing in his underwear in front of everyone. And his wife rebuked him for doing that. And some of you wives are going, yeah, she needed to. But you see, praising God was more important. He wanted people to know what God had done for him. He wanted people to realize what God had done for Israel. So David says here, I waited patiently for the Lord. But he also says, I was loud about it. Letting people know what kind of things God can do. Not only did he treasure God's word in his heart, but he was loud about letting people know. You know, and I said this during growing in Christ time. There are a tremendous amount of people in this world that are loud about things. You don't go to football stadiums and hear silence, do you? There's tremendous loudness about people doing the wrong things. There's people that are being loud, being bullies. There's people that are being loud, trying to accomplish the wrong things. Right? There are people that are being loud about violence and abusive natures. Right? I wonder what would happen if the church was loud about what God can do. Maybe we need to add our loudness of praising God to what the world's being loud about. What do you think? If there were people out there loudly telling people what God can do, how God can accomplish things, how God loves, how God gives grace, how God gives mercy, how God has compassion, I wonder what would happen to this world. I know some of you are going to be Baptists the rest of your life. You're not going to be loud about anything. So I just ask this. I wonder what would happen if we followed Scripture and got loud. I think I know what would happen. Go and read the second chapter of Acts. You know what happened there? Thousands of people gathered to find out why Christians were being loud. And later on in the book of Acts, so many things were happening in the Christian community that people gathered outside where they were to find out what was going on. I'd ask Roger to go open the door and find out how many people are waiting on the front steps to find out what's going on in here. But I think I know the answer without going to look. Are we being loud? David says, I patiently waited. But while he patiently waited for God to resolve things, he was telling people what God could do. And I believe that David was being loud about it. I don't think he was sitting off in the corner whispering. I think he was out there telling people, none can compare with the God who saved me. None can compare with the God who's saved my life through Jesus Christ. Nobody. There's nothing else in this world. I remember my major professor saying this, God has given the church what this world needs. And what this world needs is love. And oftentimes the church has not given it out. We might give it out to one another because we're community together. Maybe it's time as we patiently wait for God to put things together to be loud about what God does do. It's time to reach out. But the one thing I do know is if you're not close to God, waiting can be a terrible thing. So I'm going to ask you, how do you need to walk closer in your relationship with God as you wait for God's resolution? How do you need to be closer to God? And I'll venture to say that as I said that, every one of you knows a step you can take to be closer to God. Every one of you. And I guess what I'm going to ask you is, are you going to take that step now? You want God to resolve things now. Are you going to take that step now? Let's pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, it is difficult sometimes to follow you. It's difficult for us sometimes to be loud about our faith because we're concerned what happens if we do. That somebody will reach out to be loud and lash out at us and tell us how we have offended them because we tell them about a God that wants to love them. Lord, help us not to back up from praising you. Because this world needs to hear that. That's the only thing that's going to resolve most of the problems in this world. Is people coming to understand how much you love them, how much you care for them, how much you want to call them into a purposeful life, how much you want to have a love relationship with people. So, Lord, teach us how to be louder than we are right now, that people might wonder, why are they being loud? And that they might come to see, so that they too can come to know about a God that loves and wants to help people wait through situations. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.